All right, let's just go through our readings one by one, starting first and then the second and then the third. And remember where we are, the basic Old Testament, the timeline. Abraham is called about 4,000 years ago, so about 2,000 years before Jesus, Abraham. They settle in the Holy Land, and then you know Joseph, they end up down in Egypt for about 400 years in slavery. So they don't come back out of slavery until around 13, 1400 BC. And then for the next 300 years, they didn't have a king. So if you read the book of Judges, read the book of Judges in the Old Testament, Samson, remember Samson? He was one of the judges. They were ruled by judges until around the year 1000 BC. And that's when they say, give us a king. That's Saul. So here we are with Saul and then David, 1,000 years before Jesus. Saul is their first king. He's not pleasing to God. David is pleasing to God. And yet, David also was not perfect. David committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then she gets pregnant. Now he has to conspire to have her husband killed so then he can have her, so David can have Bathsheba. That's mortal sin, by the way, right? That's serious stuff. So David wasn't perfect, and yet he was pleasing to the Lord. Saul started off pleasing to the Lord, but then something happened. God had said, when you win a battle, this is what I want you to do with the spoils. Here's what I want you to do with the animals, and I want you to sacrifice the best ones to me. And here's what I want you to do with the gold and the silver and the jewels that you find there. And Saul didn't give it all back to the Lord. He kept the finest animals for himself. He kept some of the riches over for himself. And that was the difference between Saul and David. It's that David, throughout his life, he had a heart for the Lord. His heart was for the Lord. Saul, he changed his heart. And he moved his heart in on himself. That was the difference. That's what makes you pleasing or not pleasing to the Lord. It's where is your heart? David's heart was for the Lord. That's why he doesn't kill Saul here. Saul takes 3,000 men. He goes, pursues David in the desert. Saul sleeps overnight. They didn't find him the first day, so he sleeps overnight. They're in the camp. Saul's in the middle with his spear next to his head. And David and Abishar are off, and they sneak into the camp. God put everybody into a slumber. Wow. And he says, David, let me kill him. He's right here with his own spear. I can kill him. David's heart is for the Lord. Okay, that's the difference. David is thinking about the Lord. When your heart is for the Lord, you're thinking about the Lord through your day. And you desire to do his will. You want to do his will. And it comes to the point where you enjoy doing his will. It's a privilege for me, Father, to do your will, even though at times it's difficult. And here David is tempted to do his own will, to follow his own heart. I can take this guy's life. He's been trying to kill me. I have justice. You know, injustice, he's trying to kill me. I should be able to kill him. If I don't kill him, he's going to keep trying to kill me. And Saul did keep trying to kill him. But he says, no, that's not the will of God, because God anoints the king. And so Saul doesn't belong to me. He belongs to the Lord. I have to trust the Lord that he will take care of Saul. That's when your heart is for the Lord. So ask yourself, is my heart for the Lord, or is my heart somewhere else? Something of the world, some things of the world, people of the world. This low world is very tempting, and it wants to take our heart and divide it amongst many little useless things. And God says, no, keep your heart on me. Make sure your heart is on me. Because I want to create my image in you, the second reading. The first man, Adam, became a living being. We became living beings. The last Adam, Jesus, is a life-giving spirit. Jesus is divine. He is God. He came in our form in order to... He came in order to... breathe divine life back into us, which changes our hearts. It moves your heart. If you're living for yourself, like Saul, your heart and your mind, everything's going to be turned in on yourself. And everything's going to fall apart. Jesus comes to breathe new life into us, to turn our minds and our hearts towards Him, so we have a heart for the Lord throughout our life. And that's how we go from being natural to spiritual. And He says, just as we have borne the image of Adam, the image of the earthly one, so too, in the Spirit, we shall bear the image of Christ. Jesus wants to make more Jesuses. He's trying to clone Himself. That's what He wants to do, is clone Himself. So when He looks at you and I, all He sees is Himself. He sees His eyes looking through our eyes. He hears His words in our words, our tone of voice. He says, that's my tone of voice. Look, this beloved child has His Father's eyes. This little girl has her Father's eyes. Our divinity, we see our divinity in their humanity to become in the image and likeness of God. But we have to want it. We have to give our hearts to the Lord. And this is so important, because I think if we don't do that, I don't think we're going to be able to do what Jesus asks us to do here. I think it's beyond us. We're too broken for this. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Forgive everyone. Because that's what your Heavenly Father does. And He does it 24/7. Because God is love. So He can't do anything but love. He is immutable. His love cannot change. His mercy cannot change. Ours does all the time. Jesus says, let me teach you how to love like I love. Love even your enemies. And you notice He says, you don't have to like them. He doesn't tell us to like our enemies. He just says, you just have to love them. You're not going to like it if somebody doesn't pay back the money that they borrowed from you? Or a sibling takes advantage of the family inheritance? That's horrible. You don't have to like it or like the person who's, you know, they're playing their rock and roll until 1 a.m. and smoking their legalized whatever and it's blowing into your house and whatever, you know, humans. You don't have to like them. You just have to love them. Loving is simply, Lord, I forgive that person. I let it go. This can be so difficult, especially if you have been hurt physically, mentally, emotionally, sexually wounded, because that can last a lifetime. But always remember, you know, if I don't let go of it, well, that means the person who hurt me is suffering and guilty, and now I'm suffering as well. Now we have two miserable people. And if I don't let go of it, I'm the one in the end who's suffering. I'm hurting myself. You've heard it said, it's like not forgiving another person, not letting it go, is drinking a little bit of poison every day, hoping that they'll die. And so, no, for my own happiness, for my own sake, I have to let it go. But Lord, what about the justice? They never said they were sorry. Never paid it back. Their dogs are still barking. No, you're right. You're right. Leave justice in my hands. That's what you have to do. Lord, I leave justice in your hands. You'll take care of it. Lord, you'll take care of Saul. He's your anointed. Lord, you'll take care of it. So I leave it in your hands. I want to be free. I want to be happy. I don't want to have resentment, bitterness, anger that I'm holding on to. I want to be free. And Jesus says, thank you, because I want you to be free too. But I cannot free you if you don't want to. If you want to hold on to it, I can't do it. So thank you. Thank you for giving it to me. And now the process of healing can begin. And it is a process. So be patient with yourself. The first thing is make sure, like David, that you've got your heart set on the Lord. And that you desire to be reformed in His image. Beautiful, holy, whole, clarity of thinking, knowledge, happy, joyful, loving, beautiful. That's the image that we were made in love with God and loving others. not always liking them or what they do, but loving them. And then you are free. So like David, give him your heart. He will give you his. And then in him, you can do all things. And isn't that what Jesus said? Without me, you can't do it. Without me, you can't do it. You can't do anything. But with God, all things are possible.